With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Have you been searching for a podcast? Do you want to learn from some great content creators? Well, you've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster, with your host, Jeff Townsend, the Indie Podcast Father.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Indie Podcaster. My name is Fuzz Martin, and my friend, Jeff Townsend, asked me to fill in for him on this episode. Thank you for tuning in. Who am I? I am a partner and chief strategy officer at an ad agency called Epic Creative. I also spent 15 years in broadcasting as a morning show host and program director, and now I host a few podcasts of my own. This week on Indie Podcaster, you're going to hear some content that was previously released on Jeff, Greg, and Tanner's podcast Garage. It's a lot of fun and full of great information for you. Before you go, be sure to join us each and every week for Jeff's Podcasting Power Hour every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can find the Podcasting Power Hour on Twitter Spaces. How do you get there? Go to Jeff's profile on Twitter. That's at @podcast_father and follow him. And then when you see his posts about the event, click Set Reminder and Twitter will never let you forget. The Podcasting Power Hour is full of awesome information for those of you in the podcast industry. There's great mentorship, great camaraderie, and some crazy antics that go on along the way. And with that, here's an episode of Podcast Garage with Jeff Townsend, Greg from Indie Drop-In, and Tanner Campbell on Indie Podcaster. Enjoy the show.
Well, looks like I'm the first one here again, these friggin' slackers. Jesus. I guess that's fine. I gotta use the bathroom anyway. Probably better before they get here. Wait a minute, where are my keys at? Well, that's great. Either I left them at the house, or these dickweeds are playing a trick on me. And I really gotta use the bathroom, man. Ooh, porta potty. I think there's one. Yeah, there is one over there. Oh my god, that is terrible. I am gonna fucking kill these guys when they get here. Ooh, that is ripe. All right, let's just get it over with.
Oh, hey, Jeff. I half expected to see Tanner waiting outside for us. Do you think he knows we took his keys?
Yeah, I think that's why he made that How to Fire Your Co-host video. I don't think he's very happy with us.
Why do they always draw dicks all over the inside of these things? Every fucking porta potty I use, there's like six dicks in here. Great, I can hear him now. If I never have to use another one of these, it'll be too soon. Let me get the hell out of here. Oh my god, are you fucking kidding me right now? I'm stuck. I'm fucking stuck in here. Are you shitting me?
Help!
Did you hear that?
You guys, I am stuck in the fucking porta potty. Help!
I think it's coming from over there across the street. I think Tanner might be stuck in that freaking porta potty.
Help!
Come on, let's go see if we can get him out of there.
I'm gonna die in here. I'm gonna suffocate on these fumes. This is how it ends. This is the end of my life. Top 22 podcaster, down the drain. Not even a drain. It's just a hole in the floor.
Tanner, we're going to force the door open.
All right, well, don't push too hard. You're gonna topple me over. Put shit everywhere. Oh my god, thank you, you key-snatching bitches. I couldn't have been in there for another second.
No problem, man. It happens to the best of us.
Those drawings are not anatomically correct.
Can we just go record now, please? Jesus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Garage. I'm your favorite co-host, Greg, along with next favorite co-host, Tanner Campbell. And bringing up the rear, least favorite co-host, Jeff Townsend, a.k.a. Podcast Father. As always, Podcast Garage is sponsored by Indie Drop-In. If you're looking to grow your show, head on over to indiedropin.com/creators. You can also subscribe to the Podcast Garage newsletter, which really just signs you up to Tanner's, Jeff's, and my newsletter. Aren't we clever? But for the first time ever, I'm excited to say this episode is pretty shitty. If crap content interests you, go ahead and hit that follow button on whatever podcast app you're listening to. Today, Pete brings his podcast Get Flushed by the Garage. Pete is driving his podcast in new and exciting places, and he wants to make sure that it won't crap out. Of course, like any good mechanics, we attempt to fix many things that aren't even broken. Pete is so lucky he found us. All right, without further ado, let's get wrenching.
All right, all right, all right. It is time to get going here. We've got the team back together. And by the team, I mean myself, Jeff Townsend, Tanner Campbell, and Greg. Let's go ahead and see what Tanner's up to in Colorado. Tanner, man, are you still shoveling snow out there?
Yeah, we actually did just get about 4 or so inches overnight. It's brutal. I think this far into the new year, we're tired of it. In November and December, it's pretty and it's enchanting. And then in January, it's starting to grind. And then February and March, it's just like, can we please stop? So a little tired of it, but good news, launched a YouTube channel. That's pretty cool. I'm now on YouTube if I wasn't already doing enough. So I've been a busy little bee shoveling and making YouTube videos. How about you, Jeff?
I'm doing well here in old Indiana. It was 70 degrees 2 days ago. Now it's back in the 30s. So it's just teasing me, man. It's just teasing me. I can't take it. Greg, how's it going in your land? Old Greg land.
Yeah, going great. Continually fighting the stats for Indie Drop-In, right? When weird stuff happens in the world, attention shifts and, you know, it makes me anxious. So I dump a bunch of money into ads to level out. And then when everything comes back, it'll be like, you have 100,000 more listeners. And that's what I'm hoping for anyway. It's probably a fantasy, but that's what I've been busy with.
I love that Greg's go-to treatment for his anxiety is to spend money.
That's a lot of people's go-to treatment.
You're like Peg from Married with Children.
Yeah. You got to treat yourself, Tanner.
So, Greg, I will say one thing. There's something scary has happened to me. Ever since I've started calling you old Greg, I've had like gray hair start to come in on my beard here. So I got to be careful.
You should be careful.
That's that old Greg karma.
Yeah.
Let's cut old Greg off here and get to our guest here. We have Pete from the Get Flushed podcast. We're excited to talk to you, man. We'll give you a second to talk about yourself and your podcast. I think we've all listened to it and we all really enjoy it. So welcome, man.
Good day. And thank you for having me on the show. I'm really pleased to be with you today. I'd say I'm feeling a bit underdressed because I'm the only one without a beard. And in my defense, I had a shave at the start of January. I'd run all through 2021 with a beard, and I'm clean shaven today, so I'll apologize for that.
You look good, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't need that hoodie if you had a beard, because you wouldn't be so chilly.
It's true. I've been working outside. We moved into a new house, and I'm trying to build a shed, which I'm hoping I might turn into a podcast studio. So that's what I've been doing today.
Well, hey, now listen, if you're doing that, you and I might have to talk offline about how to do that well. If you need a few tips. I've built more than 3 studios in my time.
Well, I'm up for any hints and tips. I suppose I'm pretty serious about podcasting now. I've been going for 2 years, 75-plus episodes. So I think I'm in it now, and I'll carry on going.
It's definitely time to quit whatever your day job is and just get it done. Now's the time. Everything.
This has been my day job. So the show started 2 years ago during the first COVID lockdown. And then the last 15 months, we've actually been touring around New Zealand, me, my wife, and daughter in our caravan. And the only work I've done is the Get Flushed podcast. I've been pretty fortunate to, I won't say I've been full-time, but at times I've been 4 days a week on the podcast, and other times I've been maybe 4 hours a week on the podcast.
So tell us about it, because it's a sanitation podcast, which is probably not something people would think, oh yeah, there's tons of podcasts about that particular subject. So talk us through it a bit.
Okay, so sanitation is defined as the management of human feces, urine, and menstrual blood. And I would admit that's not the most obvious subject matter for a podcast. But I'd been working for a portable restroom provider and I'd left that job. And if you've ever been to festivals, you've seen the porta john on a festival site. You've opened the door and you've coiled back and thought you'd entered the gates of hell or something. And my whole idea for the original idea for the podcast was to explore what could portable restroom operators do to improve that standard for restroom users. And the first season was pretty much talking to restroom providers. I went out in a truck with a restroom operator. We slurped some toilets. We put a few together. I talked to the lady who manufactures the blue chemicals. And the whole of the first season, 32 episodes, were purely about running a portable restroom operation. The second year, I was fortunate enough, I had an interview with Jack Sim, who's a bit of a legend in sanitation circles. He's the founder of the World Toilet Organization. And I persuaded Jack to come on the show for World Toilet Day on November the 19th. And Jack made me wake up to the fact that in my world, portable restrooms are a convenience. And we use them on a site where there are no facilities. So we're building a new house. We put a portable restroom on. We're having an event or a festival in a big field and or a park and there's no public conveniences. We put a portable restroom in. Jack made the point that there are billions of people, 3-4 billion of people in the world who do not have access to a flushing toilet. And that made me broaden the scope of the podcast. The first season I called Get Flushed, the Portable Sanitation Podcast. And since the start of 21, I've just called it Get Flushed, the Sanitation Podcast. And I think at the beginning, you mentioned in the preamble that you listened to an episode with an author, Lena Zeldovich, who was my last episode. She's just written a fabulous book all about the other dark matter. And she examined the history of the way that people through time have managed their poo, for want of a better word, and some of the great technology that's coming out now that we can transform what has traditionally been seen as a waste product into a viable economic resource.
And I would encourage anybody to go listen to this most recent episode with that author because, first of all, the name of the book is brilliant. And second of all, it's genuinely interesting. I only got about 20 minutes into it or so, but I learned at least 7 things just listening to that, from the names of people whose jobs it was to actually go and clean these things out in the early centuries of, let's call them, indoor-ish toilets.
Yeah.
to some other pretty interesting factoids. So just a surprisingly fun listen, even though it's about poo.
Well, Thank you for that, Tanner. It's been a great journey. And I'll be honest, the podcast has been financially quite successful. I scored a fairly hefty sponsor in the first season and they rolled over to the second season. I've run a couple of adverts. And I know, Tanner, in your Podcasting Sucks, you talked about how much podcasters with a smaller niche show with maybe not hundreds of thousands of listeners should charge for an insert. Well, man, I could tell you to times that by 10, the revenue that I've been able to charge, because I've focused on a target industry and I've worked really hard to make the podcast a really well-known and visible podcast in that industry. I've been able to charge premium dollar and I'm talking significant money for advert inserts.
Are we talking standalone revenue that is enough to, you're doing this full time, so I assume it's enough to draw an annual income off of?
Yeah, I've been paying myself and my wife has worked for the company. So I formed an LLC right at the beginning, which is really unusual to do for a podcast, I think. But I figured if I was going to do it, I would try and run the podcast, but then maybe leverage off that to provide consultancy services. So I've been able to supplement some of the podcast income with ancillary services to the industry. And that's been quite successful. But the first year, it was a 5-figure sponsorship deal. The second year, I doubled it because it was the second year. And I figured that if they wanted to be in, then they would be in. This year, I'm in a bit of an unusual situation because the original sponsor has been acquired by a larger company. And negotiations are, well, we haven't had any negotiations about whether they continued. I'd had an idea that after 2 seasons of me saying, welcome to Get Flush, sponsored by, it was time for a change. So I'm currently negotiating and I've actually got some paid ads to come in later in the season. But I've got to the point where financially the podcast is secure for the next 2 years and I don't really want to disrupt the content like the author, Lena. I didn't really want to disrupt that content by playing adverts through it.
So this is great. I mean, Greg, what's going on here? Is Peter Ringer? Because I don't think this guy needs any help.
Well, I do, because my numbers aren't huge.
Yeah, yeah. So Jeff and I were texting earlier about this, like, hey, this podcast, it sounds really good. Like, did you have any suggestions for Pete? Like, well, no, I don't have any suggestions. Do you have any suggestions for me? Luckily, I think, you know, we always can come up with something, but there's a couple of things I think from my perspective, I want to get some more information from you. And I think I want to hear really what your goals are for the podcast. So maybe first give us a download reality check. What does an episode do in a month?
Total downloads so far for the entire history of the show has just clocked over 20,000. So I can average anything from maybe 50 listens to one episode very early on, up to 300 or 400 listens. And there was one episode in particular about 9/11, because we put restrooms into the Ground Zero after the 9/11 attacks. And that clocked up over 1,000 listens in the first week, because I coincided it with the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So I'd average anything from 100 to 300 a week. And it's funny, I didn't release anything from Christmas Eve through until 2 weeks ago, and I was still clocking over listens. So I'm at the point where I've got a fairly consistent and growing audience, but it's not telephone numbers. It's not absolutely huge, because it's such a niche subject. And where I'm at with it at the moment is that I would like to expand that audience, that I've pretty much saturated all of the industry groups, and everybody who's working in portable restrooms and is active in my social channels will know about the show. But I would like to expand to attract maybe a broader, more general public audience rather than an industry audience.
Yeah, that was in my notes, actually, because one thing I try to look at is market fit. Like, who is your target market? What is the potential of that target market? What is the saturation of other shows in the target market? Just kind of the landscape that you're competing with. And I even sent these guys a couple of screenshots where I was looking up different keywords today just to try to understand the market a little bit better. And you absolutely have some niche creep, which I'm trying to figure out if it's good or bad. It sounds intentional, which is good, but is it going the right place? I think we're going to figure that out.
Well, and that's a great point, because that's one I've been wrestling with. The reality was, did I keep talking about portable toilets and keep it super niche and keep it profitable? Because the companies that are operating in that space want to be part of Get Flushed. And it makes sense to carry on doing that. But at the same time, this social conscience was going on in the back of my head that this sanitation issue is a really big global issue. And if there was an opportunity to really explode the podcast numbers, then that, for me, felt like the topic to explore, because everybody has to go to the bathroom, you know? Is that the right decision? I don't know. That's why I'm here today, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe I'll pass it off to Jeff here in just a second. But the one kind of question I want to just put up in the air is, are there sanitation fanatics? And what are they fanatical about, right? What will those fanatics buy? And what are those fanatics looking for? That I don't know if that exists in the way that it seems like where you're headed. I don't know, though.
There are poo people. There are people who are fascinated by it.
Jeez, Greg, what have you been living under a rock? Have you not heard of Poo-a-palooza, Poo-fest, Poo-con 2023? Come on.
Oh, see, this is why there's three of us.
Yeah. The last 3 or 4 months, there's been a, let's call it an explosion. That's the wrong word, but there's been an explosion.
You don't ever want to hear explosion in the same word as porta potty.
There's been an explosion in toilet-based podcasts. There are 3 or 4 that have come on the horizon. One or two of them are scientific. There's an agricultural learning or research institute has started its own podcast, and sanitation has been part of their topic. There's a comedy one. And then there are a couple of others where people have just started to talk about toilets. I've tried to keep mine very business focused. I mean, I won an award at the New Zealand Podcast Award for business podcast. And I've deliberately tried to keep it with a very business focus. And I'm conscious that if I expand and continue the expansion into the wider sanitation debate, I'm perhaps in danger of losing that focus a little bit. And I'm conscious of that. And I don't know the right answer, because I've never been on this journey before. I'm not making it up as I go along, but I'm certainly just forging it ahead in the way that felt right for me. I don't know that it is right, if I'm honest, gents.
when I listened to several of the episodes, it seems like you've kind of already, and you've already said it, you shifted going into this second half of what you're doing here. And you've brought in a lot of people and a lot of specialists that seem to be and understand how important this is, the sanitation and all that, as far as the impact it can have on the world, right? The environment. So like, it seems like you've kind of already shifted, man. So when I'm listening to these episodes and what I was thinking about, just thinking about from a marketing standpoint and building an audience, people are very passionate about the environment. So how do you tap into that as it relates to what you're doing? Because you've already started creating content in regards to that. So I think for me, it's how do we find those people? Because you've already shifted in that direction.
Yeah, that's true. And I've got a couple of episodes I've pre-recorded, which take me right back to the nuts and bolts of running a portable restroom business. And I'm holding my breath about whether or not I'm actually going to be able to play those, because I've made this shift and I've deliberately moved the podcast focus along. And it possibly could be a really retrograde step. But at the same time, I'd be going back to the original roots. So I'm wrestling with that. And I don't know, maybe I needed to split it off and have two podcasts under the same umbrella.
Well, now hold on just a second. The original version of this podcast is about the nuts and bolts of running a portable restroom business, right? I've got that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think that there's the potential to use the podcast in its newer form to funnel people towards some sort of training or course, teaching people how to do that, the ins and outs of that? Could those two things come together in that way?
Yes, and actually that's a very good suggestion. I started to do that. One of the very first episodes, I had a guy phone me and said, hey, I've just bought a restroom company. I've started from scratch and I've learned so much from your podcast. It's been an absolute boom. And my vision was always that I would accompany the podcast maybe with a playbook or a how-to manual that helped people who were intent on entering that portable sanitation space. But I'm back to the point I raised earlier, that I've actually moved on and progressed the show beyond that now, and I don't know whether I can keep bouncing back between the two.
That's my fear, right? That is 100% the fear. When I was listening to it, because I like to go back, I go way back and try to listen to like how far people have come,
early
just
episodes.
To see if
yeah,
because some people are just experts right off the bat. Maybe it's their 10th podcast, right, that they've made. While other people's, you know, start off slow and get better. And really what I noticed about yours is this, I mean, it seemed like a complete shift in your target audience. And I was trying to think about, you know, if I were you and I was a professional in the space and I wanted to do a couple, like I look at it like this. I want to establish myself as an expert in the field, so that people look to me for guidance, at which case I can sell them something they probably need. That's how I look at it. Like they come to the trusted source as an influencer in the portable toilet business. You know, you're, for lack of a better term, you're an influencer in that space, right? Which is what gives you the power to charge 10 times the average CPM, right? So the question I have is can you become an influencer in this new space to the same extent as you were in the old space? Is it close enough adjacency?
No, my honest reaction to that is I'm not a PhD researcher. I'm not a well-known, well-published expert on sanitation in general. And I'm really conscious that when I've had guests on, I can steer and help them explain their perspective, but it's not my expertise anymore. I'm just the host. So it's the point you're making is one that whether or not I've verbalized it, I've definitely been wrestling with it subconsciously.
Well, you are switching from the position of expert in an industry that you deeply understand and can help people understand, that's season one, into more of the role of an advocate. And I'm fairly certain, and I think that this is what Greg is concerned with, I mean, he said as much, is that this future that you're going towards, there just doesn't seem to be a way for it to be as lucrative as the past has been. And is that what you're wrestling with? Is part of this like the giving up of the financial viability of the podcast? Is that part of the struggle? Because it feels like you're pulled towards the moral part of this, which is admirable, but you're giving up some of your livelihood, maybe all of your livelihood in doing so.
Cut in here for a second. I don't necessarily look at this as like a complete shift. Like he's just kind of adding to it. And I'll give you an example real quick. What I've done with my latest podcast, Indie Podcaster, Greg can attest to this. I started out just talking to brand new indie, really, really, really small podcasters. As I got into it more, I started shifting it based on what I could tell my audience liked. I would experiment with it, whatever. And also including some people that work in the industry, maybe some people that are more established. And it's actually increased my audience by doing that. So when I think like what Pete's big concern is also, is he going to deplete material, then have nothing to talk about? I mean, that's what he said in the beginning, like how much can you get out of what he's doing? So from a creative standpoint, do you try to add additional to that? Then by doing that, can it be done right where you've already built the fan base? It's not massive by any means, but it's very, very, very valuable. And can you take them along with you and try to do additional things? How far are you into this, because I don't remember off the top of my head, this shift, Pete, and have you seen a decline in listenership or anything since you've started including a lot of these interviews with?
So I dropped the word portable maybe after 45 episodes, 40 episodes. So I did 32 in the first season, and then it was very early on in the second season. I did another 40 episodes last year, 2021, and it was maybe after five or six that I dropped the word portable and started to just call it sanitation. Numbers have kept growing, and what I've tried to do is actually add to the value for the listener. So rather than talk about the operational aspects, I've tried to explore the context and show how portable sanitation fits into this wider picture of people globally go to the bathroom. But where it's taken me is that you're quite right. I feel that maybe I'm moving away from my expertise, which is, you know, I'm a really hands-on portable restroom operator, and I can help people improve the way they deploy to events and their bottom line, their revenue. And by having the wider sanitation debate, that, you know, I don't know that there's anyone else operating a podcast to this depth in this space. That either in there's certainly not in the portable restroom market, but in the sanitation one, there's not really a consistent podcast. There are a few others skirting around the issue, but there's not a regular weekly podcast themed on sanitation.
I think I'm going to need to hear maybe more from Greg, because I got to be honest, I'm struggling here to see how it's possible for Pete to successfully make the transition from podcaster for business reasons to podcaster for ethical, moral advocacy reasons. I don't have a solve for him. So, Greg, you've got some more input here to maybe get my gears kicking?
Yeah, I think I definitely do. I think a shift, and I'm just going to be blunt, so you don't have to listen to any of this advice. This is your show. You got to do what you love. I think you can do both if you have your advocacy podcast episodes limited, like to where people know it's a specific segment where once a month you try to give back, you find a place where people can donate, you engage the business community in some sort of solve. I think people, I mean, I would love that if it was in my industry, you know, where if it was, you know, bringing wireless internet to some place and we were talking to some local person describing why they need it or what the problems are, and asked for a $10 donation to fix that.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I would be all over that, right? But the other 90% of the episodes, to me, your podcast, even if you wanted to break out of portable toilets and talk about the business of sanitation, I think you have a wider scope talking about that topic. Because there's cleaning companies that go and clean bathrooms and businesses. And then, you know, there's a huge industry around, especially after COVID, about just being sanitary in these spaces where you know a lot about that stuff because it's adjacent to what you currently do. What you would need to do to kind of raise your knowledge in those spaces, the adjacent spaces, I think it's minimal. I mean, you're already an expert. You just apply it in one specific area.
The plan for this season was a really deliberate set of stepping stones. So I started with defining the sanitation topic, and then I spoke with Stephanie Weir, who's a marine biologist who was very concerned about the effect of sewage in the ocean and its impact on corals and marine life. Then the second episode built on that with Lena Zeldovich, and she talked about some of the initiatives in places like Madagascar where we're trying to improve, or organisations are trying to improve sanitation locally. The third episode next week is with a guy from India, from the World Toilet Board, who's an investor. They distribute charitable funds to people who want to start businesses in the sanitation space. And then the fourth one is with a guy in the UK who's actually invented an alternative to the traditional toilet brush. It's a non-contact squeezy. So there was a very deliberate step through to bring it back to business purposes, because ultimately the global sanitation market is worth billions and billions of dollars. And it's one of the only industries that's really bloomed during COVID. PPE and hygiene, cleanliness, has just been off the charts in terms of revenue spent over the last 2-3 years.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And I'll tell you, an adjacent area that sounds so much like what you're doing is the auto detailing industry. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but these folks that do like auto detailing podcasts and YouTube videos, what they do is they find an area where they can add value, and they build their own compounds, techniques, cleaners, you know, all this stuff. And it's just made somewhere else. They put their label on it. But because they know, because people trust them and they know that this stuff works, they sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of their own stuff. And you could do something like that, I think, so easily.
That would be a logical expansion of the show, because it fits. It really does fit.
And then if you get someone to come on to talk about how the, you know, sanitation is killing coral and things like that, you could say, well, you know, we can't stop this country from non-treated sewage, but what we can do is we could use a product like what I've created here, which helps break down the blah, 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 to make it safer to go into the ocean. You know, I'm making that up. I don't know if that exists, but
no, it's, well, so I've concentrated on finding the entrepreneurs who are operating in that space, and I've been giving them publicity rather than pushing my own products and services there.
Yeah. Yeah. But you could do something like affiliate marketing. What I'm trying to figure out is you're very clearly moving away from this 5-figure deal. Intentionally kind of distancing yourself from your bread and butter sponsor. Now, they may continue on because you talk about their space, but you have an audience that isn't in the portable restroom business, and it's growing and it's growing. We got to sell those folks something in order to keep you from having to get another job.
Yeah, that's the hub of the crux of the issue that I'm wrestling with, that by moving away from the portable restroom, then I perhaps am in danger of not securing another viable sponsor in the way that I've done for the last 2 years.
I think if you're going to continue in this advocacy direction, which I feel like that's where your heart's at, you really want to do that. You felt moved by what you learned in that conversation, and it seems like you feel an ethical responsibility to do something. And like I said before, that's admirable. I think if you're going to keep that as a feature in the existing podcast, I think it's got to be, I don't think it can be every episode. I don't think that you want to create a podcast where you're shifting the expert from you, which is what's benefited you up till now, to the other person you're talking to, because it just hugely devalues you on the front of where your roots are. Have you thought about starting a separate podcast for this?
No, I mentioned it in passing just a few moments ago, but that's definitely a consideration, isn't it? And you know, the feature of the first season of Get Flush was it was largely monologues. It was largely me with a script that I'd written where I tackled, let's call it an essay, a verbal essay, where I tackled a particular aspect or issue of the industry. And last season, the balance shifted. Last season was the first time I'd had more guests than monologues. And this season I'm two episodes in. I've not done a monologue yet. I'm weighing up when I've introduced the first one, but I'm not expert enough to run a monologue. I don't feel that I'm authentic enough to run a monologue about general sanitation issues because my expertise is in the operational deployment of restrooms at festivals and events.
And that's also where your monetary value is as far as sponsors are concerned.
Yeah, so you've helped me answer that question just in the course of this conversation.
Jeff, where's your head at on this? I mean, what's your opinion here?
I think he's been an advocacy from the beginning of the podcast. Clearly to me, when I listened to him, I could still tell he was an advocate for it. He may not have had guests on there, but he was still clearly advocating for all the things that he believed in.
Yeah, cleaner restrooms.
Guys, Pete's concerned about... There's some things you just can't talk about forever.
Yeah, that's why I really think the expertise is adjacent enough where the expertise is inferred. Like, for instance, if you talked about, just use an obvious example, caravan toilets, right? You probably are more expert in those than 99% of the people putting them in. So that's not a big leap, and that's a huge market. There's rural sanitation.
I've not got into septic tanks yet, Greg.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it.
Yeah, there's a huge industry in septic tanks and all of that.
Yeah, there's an infinite expansion, I think, of your expertise in adjacent categories that you could totally conquer because you know 99% of it already. Like, you don't, like, let's say septic tanks where you're clearly not excited about, you may not know like which septic tank is going to last you 50 years, but you can certainly talk about the chemicals that you need and what you wouldn't do and what's eco-friendly and, you know, why you don't want to use a drainage field instead of a tank or whatever. Like I think you could research that in 15 minutes and then have a pretty significant opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Do you know, I've got an episode I've pre-recorded about paper re-rolling, if you can believe this is such a thing, that there's a cultural attitude in restroom operators that they need to leave a fresh toilet roll every time they clean the toilet. And it's hugely wasteful because, you know, when you go to the bathroom at home, you don't have a fresh toilet roll every time you go. But there is a very small, and there's been maybe 15 patents through the history of time, back to the early 1900s, late 1800s. There's been a number of patents registered for machines that re-roll toilet paper. And I recorded a 50-minute episode about re-rolling toilet paper, which is really close to the original heart of what Get Flush was in season one. And I'm wrestling about how and when I unload that episode this season because it doesn't fit with what I've talked about in the first four episodes.
So that example you just gave about wastefulness of toilet paper, that's an episode that would have made sense in season one, right? I'm construing that correctly.
Yeah.
Season one, that would have been perfect. And now season two, since you've got more of an advocacy bent, maybe it doesn't fit as much. But I think if this is not at all a dig against the way you produce the podcast currently. I thought it was put together very well. I don't have any problems with your production. I have no input on that front. But if you could produce the show in a way that was at its base about the operational level. And then when you come to things in explaining the operational parts of running this kind of business, which necessitate a further discussion on the ethical parts of it, I think you could incorporate these two things into a single season that scratch both backs, so to speak. I think that's absolutely doable. It would just become something that probably required a little bit more upfront writing than maybe the podcast currently does. Am I making sense with that? Am I on the money here?
Yeah, I am. You know, I do very little writing for guest interviews. I let them tell their story and then I just top and tail it. But when it's a monologue, then I'll maybe spend up to two weeks just researching and pulling in all the facts so that I'm not sharing false information or I'm completely inaccurate. I've got a degree of responsibility to actually get things right when I share business input. And I think that's definitely what made the show in the first season.
So again, in those business conversations, when you mention something that has an ethical aspect to it, why not have a 15-minute interview cut into an episode about operations that adds color to that ethical thing that's coming up naturally in the operational discussion? Am I making sense? I feel like I might not be.
Yeah, no, you are. You see, until now, I've very much concentrated on one guest, one theme, one topic per episode, and I've kept it really simple, topped and tailed it, and kept it focused on the issue at hand. And I guess what I'm hearing is that as I'm growing as a podcaster, there's maybe room now to become more sophisticated in the way I blend that content in the episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. Ask yourself, hey, what's the episode that I'm going to put together today? It's operational. It's based on this. Now, what ethical considerations are involved in this thing I'm talking about today? Okay, we've got two things. Are there two people I could go out and have a 30-minute conversation with to pull things into this larger episode so that it is part operational, part ethical discussion, and you're blending the two audiences that you seem to now have combined and you're worried about losing? I think that helps you win on both fronts.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Greg, Jeff?
When I talked about my podcast, that's one thing I guess I should bring up. When I kind of went through the latest growth spurt, when I talked about these changes that I made, I didn't leave completely what I was doing before behind either. I did find a middle place. I was able to double my audience. Still stuck to the things I was doing in the beginning. Then I found things that would be more valuable to the audience in addition to, but never completely or even close to abandoning originally what I was doing.
The difference, Jeff, with your show is that your target audience remained the same. You were just able to pull more of them in because you had bigger guests and you talked more about kind of the how and not always just the why. So your expansion was really for the benefit of your current audience. This is really two different audiences, in my opinion. Do you have competition for your sponsorship slots? Are there other companies out there that are trying to compete with this current sponsor to get your attention?
Not directly, I don't think. I've tried really hard over the last 2 years to get the big toilet manufacturers to come on the show, either to appear as guests or to sponsor ads. And it makes sense because the show's got a really good global audience. About 55% of the listeners are in the US, but I get fairly even saturation around the rest of the world. So there would be no point in, you know, Chuck E. Joe's restrooms in Idaho sponsoring an episode of the show. It wouldn't make sense for them at all. It needs to be a big player. And I've really never managed to get... I've had three conversations with the marketing team at big global distributors and manufacturers of restrooms. And what seems to happen is as soon as they take it upstairs to the management team, the conversation stops. So that the marketing guys will be really enthusiastic and, hey, Pete, we love what you do, want to be part of it. We definitely want to sponsor some content and we want to be a partner and maybe collaborate on some episodes. Goes to the management board and it gets cut. And I don't know whether that's because I'm in New Zealand or it's me or there are other politics at play. I know one company, they were talking about coming on, being part of the show, and they were actually trying to expand fairly aggressively and they didn't want any publicity at all. So I know there was a reason why they backed off. But the other manufacturers, I've really struggled to get them on board. And that's, I'll admit that that does frustrate me because I genuinely believe I've got a really valid and viable forum and it would really benefit them from being part of it. But I've not been able to persuade them to do that.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe the niche audience also niches your sponsor opportunities to an extent where you've done all you can do in this space, right? Like I know there's probably tens of thousands or more listeners you could probably get, but being as well connected and well known in the industry, I would hope that you'd have line of sight on sponsors that you could get if your show was maybe larger or you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I've got some lined up. I've got a series of paid adverts lined up for later this show. I've just not unloaded them yet because I didn't want to dilute the content that I've got. So it's not that I've gone from a really lucrative deal to nothing. I've changed the format. And I explained in the show this week, I was conscious that I'd said the same words for 70 odd episodes. Welcome to Get Flush, sponsored by. And from a listener's perspective, I just wanted to give the listener a different flavor for a few episodes to not have the intrusion of. the paid ad insert. Whether or not I can attract another big name sponsor, I really don't know. I think I'm in a stronger position now than I was when I started, because I've got 70-odd episodes of back catalogue. I've won an award. It's been featured in some of the major channels on the BBC and the Guardian newspaper. But it's whether or not I can find the right client who fits the podcast and wants to be part of that journey, I suppose. And I was incredibly lucky the first season I did. I found a company that wanted to expand in the same way, and they were innovative and I was innovative, and it fit together really well.
So I'm going to just kind of mostly end. I know we're probably getting close to the end, but I want to just, my official recommendation is that it should be called Get Flushed, The Business of Sanitation, and you should focus 99% of your efforts on the folks that work in the industry and how best to support them. I think that's my official recommendation here. An advocacy podcast, I think, is great because those people also need to be up-leveled in their industry, but only in, I would say, small increments. Like when you have something like Tanner was saying, like some way to really hit it home to what they're doing in their life.
I think the thing that you guys are missing is this business is going toward this advocacy. That's what we're missing.
I don't think it is. Is it, Pete? Are we missing that?
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I think the whole sanitation industry has got no choice but to become more ethical and more ecological and more environmentally friendly in the way it works. And it hasn't always been. It's been a really heavy user of nasty chemicals, formaldehyde, has been the basis of this industry for a long time. But the world's changed, you know, and we've seen a move away from those heavy chemical preparations. And even dumping sewage is a major issue at the moment. It's becoming increasingly difficult to unload your septic waste, whether it's from your home or from a business. It's become a real contentious area. So the advocacy part fits really well for me. It's whether or not I focus on the industry or whether I get into this wider sanitation about, you know, the exploration of people who don't have access to a toilet, which wasn't my initial concern.
But does the industry want to listen to a podcast about the moral shortcomings or the moral discussions surrounding the industry? Is that what people want to show up for?
No, and I certainly don't want to preach, Tanner. I don't want to preach, but what I do want to explore is, are there ways that operators can minimize their ecological impact without burning through dollars?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Advocacy, Jeff, I concede your point because I now understand what you're saying. When the two intersect, when you can bring it home to the person who's doing the job, right, where they might make a different choice because of your advocacy message, I think that's extremely powerful. I think we should all be doing that. If we can help people make better choices with anything, we should use our expertise for that positive purpose. What I worry about is what I'm trying to, I guess, you know, in my kind of official recommendation is don't lose your expertise in your podcast. It's your podcast. It's your expertise. Use your superpower that you created in episode in season one to a point where a company believes in you so much that they're paying tens of thousands of dollars for your very attentive audience. Right. I think you use that superpower and you expand it in the areas where you can add value, where you personally can add value. That's what I mean.
I think my concern is, and Pete, I think our podcast, mine and yours, are very similar in this regard, or at least season one of yours and mine are very similar in this regard. We are providing practical, actionable, experienced input on something that we deeply, deeply understand. And that is a different role than the role of, I would almost compare this difference. Do you know who Evo Terra is? He's podcasting's philosopher. Have you heard of that guy?
No.
So he talks more about, he philosophizes on the market of podcasting as opposed to giving actionable advice. So we're very different in that way. And he's more of what I would think of as a thought leader in the space. And I think that's almost like the jump you're making here. You're going from being practical, actionable advice giver to being thought leader in the space, mostly focused on the moral future of the space. And I don't think, I agree a lot with what Greg has said here, in that if it was me, I would be very worried about abandoning that original form because it's so monetarily valuable. That sounds very selfish, of course. And I think I get that you feel that that might be kind of selfish too, which is why I am suggesting, I think what Greg and Jeff kind of sussed out there was there needs to be a way to incorporate the two rather than to abandon either or commit fully to one or the other. And I think that the answer to that is kind of what I mentioned before, having that practical advice, that actionable advice, and where things come up to have moral discussions about some aspect of that practical advice, that's where you need to bring in the moral discussion because it's relevant and it respects the reason that people are showing up in the first place, because it's not replacing that entire show or making it different and losing that attractiveness too. Because you told us your numbers, the amount of money that you are charging for sponsorship is amazing. And it indicates that the industry respects you hugely. And if the industry suspects that your audience demographic is changing too much, they'll still respect you, but they're definitely going to see that investment is maybe a little less solid than they did originally. And I'm a big money guy, so I'm very, and I know Craig is as well. I would be very concerned about that, but I think you can artfully navigate this change from being practical advice giver to being industry thought leader, if you can balance the two in one show. I think that's what you need to do.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. And, you know, you as an independent podcaster, you don't get a chance to have these conversations with people very often. So I'm really grateful for that. It's good feedback and give me a lot to think about as I move forward with it. So thank you. Yeah.
Jeff, you got some closing thoughts here?
I don't think it's anything like overcomplicated here. I think it's really just how you're going to structure it. Like everybody's saying, just try to make sure it's connected and relevant, right? So even if that's just the way you're structuring it for a certain amount of time, the people you're bringing on, it just needs to relate to the subject matter that's found you success. But obviously, you've been able to take that original niche, and there's no proof that you've lost them. But in fact, you've added additional people onto that.
Yeah.
You've done something right additionally. It's important to recognize that. You do have to be careful. I just think it's all with how you're going to structure it. That'll be critical.
Hey, Pete, let me ask you one question. Is there a possibility to create and sell a franchise for these businesses?
I've got an interview at 3 o'clock this afternoon with a guy called Curtis Ingalls, who has just launched next-gen sanitation in the US, which is going to be a franchise-based model. And he's hoping that he can get to 300 franchisees in the next 5 years.
Because my all-time favorite kind of podcast is a podcast that creates a top funnel, you know, the top of a funnel of a sales funnel to an actual business. I think those podcasts are so compelling where there's an underlying business, like a franchising of something, or less so training, but also training. But like I recently read an article about a guy who had a cigar shop that was going out of business, and he started a podcast and basically does like 10 times the revenue selling cigar subscription boxes from his cigar shop. And then on Saturdays, he's got like a line around his cigar shop. And I think, you know, you're touching on the power of that. Like, I just hear the way, you know, you're so passionate about the subject, you know so much about it. You could easily be like the spokesperson of a franchise or the owner of a franchising company if such a thing existed.
I'll let you know how that conversation this afternoon goes.
Yeah.
I will say this is my favorite conversation I've ever had about shit. So, I mean, this is just amazing.
And we've kept it serious. I've had some fascinating conversations with people over the last 2 years, and we're talking about a subject that you generally don't talk about at the dinner table, you know? People don't talk about poos and wees in polite conversation.
It's a business conversation, and I don't care if it's poo, widgets. It doesn't matter to me. I love thinking about how to market it, how to promote it, you know, who to sell it to. I love it.
Well, actually, I'll go ahead and say that I think this is my favorite episode of this podcast thus far, because Pete is so far along that, I mean, he is not like any guest we've had previously. Not take anything away from any guest we've had previously, but Pete has different problems than most podcasters struggling to move forward. So this is, I mean, we've seen Greg and I disagree with Jeff. Jeff put us in our place. Like you're not going to hear this in the edit, of course, but there have been some long silences here where we're not, you know, where we weren't sure immature, and we didn't know the best advice to give. And Pete's really made all three of us, I think pretty hard about what he ought to do. And all I can say, Pete, is I hope that this discussion has, even if we've given you no specific actionable answers, that at least this discussion has helped you think of things maybe you hadn't thought of before, have gotten the wheels spinning a little bit, and will ultimately be part of leading you towards whatever decision you make.
Well, do you know, I've really loved it. It's been so valuable for me. And Greg, the suggestion of get flushed the business of sanitation, that's such a logical evolution, because I'd gone from the portable sanitation podcast to the sanitation podcast. I'll be doing that today, guarantee.
I love it. I think it's still niche enough that you can, I mean, I hate to say it, that you can rake in a whole pile of money.
With a muck rake, of course. It has to be with a muck rake.
I don't know what kind of rake you rake poo with, but if such a thing exists, you probably should get one.
Pete, man, we appreciate you bringing your podcast by the garage. And I'm actually going to let Pete take us home by telling everybody where they can check out all the great things he's doing. How's that sound?
That's great. Thank you, Jeff. I've really enjoyed the conversation today, gents. This has given me heaps of things to think about and move forward with. Get Flush is available in all the usual places, but getflush.online is the homepage. Love to see you there.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Podcast Garage. If you made it this far in the episode, tweet out which host is your favorite with hashtag Podcast Garage. I'll cry if it's not me. You can find all Pete's info in the show notes below. And as always, you can find links to Indie Drop-In, Podcasting Sucks, and Indie Podcaster, along with all our social media information in the show notes below. Head on over to podcastgarage.com and see Jeff's new profile pic. And while you're at it, sign up to the newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling a friend. But more importantly, thank you for supporting independent content creators. If you're enjoying the podcast or like the work we're doing in the indie podcaster community, I ask you to tell just one fellow content creator that hasn't heard of this podcast or the work we're doing and share it with them. But more importantly, I hope you continue with me on this journey as the indie podcaster. Keep being you. Keep being great.
And the question is, do I stay here? Will you be back? Are you gonna come back? Will you be back? Are you coming back?